A note to listeners, this episode contains adult content and language.
I won't deny it, I'm a straight rider.
It's September 7th, 1996, in Las Vegas. Tupac Shakur rides in the passenger seat of a BMW sedan, the reigning king of rap.
So many battlefield scars while driven in plus cars, it's like it's a rap star.
Tracks like Ambitions as a Rider have Tupac on his way to becoming one of the best-selling artists in history. But on this night, he has the look of a man moving towards his fate. At a stoplight, a gunman pulls up alongside Tupac's open window and puts two bullets in his chest.
But he couldn't survive a second. Rap star Tupac Shakur died last night after a brief life in a rough business. He was 25.
Tupac's death rocks the rap world. There are vigils and tributes. But the feeling isn't just one of loss. There's also fear, a sense that the violence is not yet over. Tupac's death comes at the height of tensions between warring record labels on opposite coasts. Tupac was the star of West Coast juggernaut Death Row Records. Rival rapper Biggie Smalls of Bad Boy Records represents the East. It seems absurd that a rivalry between music labels could lead to murder. But the atmosphere becomes so charged that no one in the inner circle of these two rappers feels safe. And then, on March 9, 1997, just 6 months after Tupac's death, Biggie, also known as the Notorious B.I.G., attends an award show after party in Los Angeles. Biggie is 24 and a superstar at the height of his powers, on display in his hit Machine Gun Funk from his album Ready to Die.
So you wanna be hardcore with your hat.
Just after leaving the party, Biggie sits at a red light. A gunman hits him with four bullets at close range. He dies hours later. The deaths of the two most important names in hip-hop might have marked the end of an era and the end of Death Row and Bad Boy Records. Instead, it's the start of a new war with the future of the music industry at stake. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. Today, Death Row versus Bad Boy is the stuff of legend and myth. There's something taboo in even mentioning the rivalry. It's a wound that has yet to fully heal. Because these labels could just as well have been friends and collaborators, and often were. The heaviest part of any tragedy is the nagging thought that it might have worked out differently. And in this story, there are so many what-ifs. You are listening to Episode 1 of Death Row versus Bad Boy, Life After Death. The murders of Tupac and Biggie were never solved. That's part of why this chapter of history feels unfinished. And yet, Death Row versus Bad Boy is one of the most important stories in the history of American culture. The rivals forever changed American music and American business. Both were instrumental in turning hip-hop into the multi-billion dollar industry it is today. Forget rags to riches, that's too easy. How about cultural pariah to captain of industry? Thanks to these labels, hip-hop is now the most listened to music genre in the United States. And two of the characters in this story are neck and neck to become the wealthiest American musicians of all time. But after the deaths of Tupac and Biggie, rap's two brightest stars snuffed out in a span of 6 months, that future was far from certain. It's October 1995 at Death Row headquarters in LA's San Fernando Valley. Tupac Shakur just signed to Death Row. Tupac says he wants to be a part of a superpower. That's exactly what Death Row is. And the reason Death Row is a superpower? Well, it's sitting right here in the studio control room. He's a guy from Los Angeles, Compton. The wizard behind the controls is Andre Young. The world knows him as Dr. Dre. Dre co-founded Death Row in 1991. He's the architect of the label's distinctive multi-platinum sound. The beats he creates in this booth are the embodiment of the West Coast style. Heavy bass meets multi-layered melody, like taking a Parliament Funkadelic album and making it more gangsta. Dre, the producer, looks over at his new label mate, trying to gauge his reaction. If Tupac raps on this track, it could be the start of something huge. Maybe Tupac's first hit with Death Row. Dre puts on California Love. Tupac starts bobbing his head. Death Row sound sells millions of albums. The label is valued at more than $100 million. It can't miss. And with Tupac on board, things are poised to go even bigger. Dre stops the tape. So, what do you think? You want me to play it again so you can write to it? Tupac doesn't hesitate. I'm ready to go right now. Let's do it. Without writing a word, having heard the beat exactly one time, he walks into the booth and does this. Out on bail, fresh out of jail, California dreaming. Soon as I step on the scene, I'm hearing Hoochie screaming. Even after spending 10 years around the greatest rappers on the planet, Dre is impressed. But the virtuoso performance isn't over yet, because Tupac likes to overdub his lyrics, recording the same verse on top of itself to give it more weight. He tells Dre, "Let's hit it again." He's like a human tape recorder. He flawlessly matches the cadence and inflection from his first attempt. Dre is stunned. He's never seen anything like it. Dre knows that this track is going to be huge. And he's right. California Love is Tupac's first single with Death Row, and it hits number one on the Billboard charts and sticks there for 2 weeks straight. Tupac and Dre even go on to make a music video for the song, one of the most audacious ever filmed. They're rapping in a Mad Max-inspired desert apocalypse, like Death Row is the last label standing after Judgment Day. Death Row, last label standing. That's exactly how Suge Knight wants it. Suge co-founded Death Row with Dr. Dre. They have a divide-and-conquer strategy. Dre is content to stay locked in the studio, often for days on end, creating the beats for Death Row hits. Suge is the businessman, the CEO. He sits in his office at a giant wooden desk. His crimson carpet features the Death Row logo, a man strapped to the electric chair, head in a sack, prepared for execution. Today, Suge has a visitor. A timid European reporter enters, escorted by an armed security detail. Off-duty LAPD, Suge keeps on his payroll.
This guy flew in from Italy to meet the most dangerous music label on the planet. He got what he asked for. Shug sends his giant German Shepherd to snap in the reporter's face. And now, he's terrified. Shug likes that. The CEO laughs.
You scared of my dog?
Shug has a gentle voice that's a real contrast with his frame. He's 6'4", 315 pounds. When the European reporter flees, Shug invites in another, tracking her arrival on a bank of TV monitors inside his office, making a point to show off the piranhas in his fish tank.
I feed them rats, sometimes mice.
The media loves this stuff, of course. These tactics land Shug on the cover of the New York Times magazine, wearing a blood-red suit. That blood-red isn't just Shug's favorite color. It's his signal to the press, and more broadly, the world. The Death Row's gangsta image isn't just an act. It represents his affiliation with the infamous Bloods street gang. By all accounts, Shug is a brilliant businessman. Shrewd, calculating, relentless. He often sleeps in a room next to his office, in a bed with maroon sheets. Maybe all this gangsta stuff is just an act, but plenty of people in the music industry are terrified of crossing night. That's a reputation that comes in handy when you're coming from out of nowhere to build an empire. Thanks to Death Row, audiences don't want to bother with anything but gangster rap. It's an incredible thing for music to feel this real, this dangerous. Vanilla Ice just won't cut it anymore. Shug positions Death Row as the only true gangster rap label. Death Row represents the streets. Bad Boy Records? It's all fake. Across the country, Bad Boy doesn't see a need to respond to Shug's theatrics. They have all the credibility they need, thanks to Biggie Smalls. It's 1993. Biggie Smalls and his entourage are huddled in a New York recording studio. A studio is like a meter on a New York taxi. Time equals money. Everyone's drinking and smoking weed, laughing, joking. But Biggie hasn't recorded a single verse. The 21-year-old sits in the corner, as isolated as you can be in this cramped space, nodding, mumbling to himself, listening to the beat over and over again. This has been going on for hours. The guy paying for this session is Sean Combs, the founder of Bad Boy, and he's a guy who keeps a close eye on his money. You know Sean Combs by many names depending on the era. Puff Daddy, Puffy, P. Diddy. And then he reached Madonna status and became just plain Diddy. At this point, he goes by Puffy, and he's got a vision for Biggie, the kid mumbling to himself in the corner of the studio. He sees Biggie as the key to build Bad Boy into the most dominant label in hip-hop. He thinks Biggie will be his answer to Death Row. At this point, gangster rap is viewed as pretty much the exclusive terrain of the West Coast, but Biggie has the hardcore appeal to shift the balance of power back to the East. Finally, late in the evening, just as it feels like this session was a complete waste of time and money, Biggie comes alive. His huge body rises from the corner and steps into the booth.
You're talking to the robbery expert. Step into your wake with your blood or my shirt. Don't be a jerk and get smoked over being resistant. Cause when I lick shots, the shit's as persistent. Goodness gracious, the
and just like that, the night is more than redeemed. Gimme the Loot is one more hardcore track in the can for Biggie's new record, a track that says the East is coming for the gangster rap crown. Puffy knows street credibility is essential, but it's not enough for commercial success. To really be a star, Biggie's tracks need to be danced to and beloved everywhere from housing projects to high-end clubs. Biggie worries that Puffy wants to soften him, and he hates this idea. He says to himself, "Fuck Puff." You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind. It's well into the AM hours at Nell's nightclub in Lower Manhattan. This is one of the most exclusive clubs in the world. You have to be New York royalty to get in here. But Biggie, a former small-time crack dealer from Brooklyn, walks right through the front door. He's welcome because he's with the head of Bad Boy Records, Puffy. Puffy's betting that Nell's is the best place to win an argument with his young star-to-be. Bad Boy Records is a direct extension of Puffy's outsized personality. Brash, flashy, confident, and that's exactly what he wants the Bad Boy sound to be. Glitzy, in your face, shining like diamonds. He knows he needs hardcore appeal to beat Death Row, but he also wants to turn hip-hop into something truly glamorous. Something where rappers are as much a source of envy as the stars on the red carpet. The DJ puts on Diana Ross's Upside Down, and every booth at Nell's empties onto the dance floor. Every booth, except for Puffy and Biggie's. They stay put, eyes on the crowd, because learning what people shake their hips to is how Puffy makes money. Puffy turns to Biggie.
See that? This track came out like 15 years ago. But the 31-year-old ladies rock to this joint. And the 17-year-old ladies is dancing to this joint.
You should be rapping to that,
he tells Big. Hip-hop meets R&B. That's what's missing from your record. You rap to that, you'll have a gold single. They'll be dancing to you in Wisconsin. Let's go get the money.
Biggie eyes the dance floor and sees gyrating dollar signs.
All right, fuck it.
Soon after, Biggie and Puffy are back at Nell's. But this time, they have the place all to themselves. Well, them and a truckload of friends and two truckloads of champagne. They're filming the music video for the soft single Puffy so desperately wanted Biggie to put out, and that he finally acquiesced to. Big Papa will help Biggie's album sell 500,000 copies in its first week. And it's the epitome of the Bad Boy brand.
Imagine and Benz is giving ends to my friends, and it feels stupendous. Tremendous.
The video is a sensation. Suddenly, gangster rap is also glamour, just as Puffy envisioned. This is the video that helped sell $1 trillion worth of gold chains, Versace suits, and Cristal champagne. Thanks to Puffy, Bad Boy develops an absolute genius for driving style, taste, and culture. People want what Puffy has. That's the formula. They want his records, his jacket, his house. And most definitely, they want his bank account. And Biggie? Well, he's the most essential ingredient of all, because Biggie is Bad Boy's edge. Luxury is nothing without an edge. Biggie is that whiff of danger that gives stakes and excitement to everything Bad Boy has on offer. Puffy and Biggie are a potent combo. They put Bad Boy into heavy rotation on MTV, the first gangster rap to pull that off since the pioneers at Death Row. So, why would this be the start of a war? A real war, one with a body count? Every answer to that question is controversial. Some say the coming feud between Death Row and Bad Boy is entirely fabricated, invented by a national media terrified and confused by the sight of young black men from the inner city who suddenly have money, power, and a hell of a lot to say. They're horrified at the thought of these men having the ear of suburban white youth who can't get enough of their records. And so they turn them into bloodthirsty villains, blaring every little beef between the rivals into a megaphone until real blood is shed. From a business perspective, East versus West could have been your standard battle for market share. For fans, could have been your typical regional who's best controversy, like one over football or barbecue sauce. There are bitter personal rivalries that fuel this feud, particularly a deep betrayal Tupac feels he's suffered at the hands of Biggie, once a close friend. And certainly there is money on the line. But whether the war could have been avoided is beside the point. Biggie spoke with a reporter about the absurdity and maybe the inevitability of it all just weeks before he died.
It's crazy for me to even think about saying this, thinking that a rapper can't get killed because he raps. That shit can happen. And I'm stupid to even think that it couldn't.
On the next episode, Puffy becomes the youngest mogul in the music industry, and Dre joins with the most dangerous band in America, N.W.A. Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Business Wars, and we invite you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You'll find a link on the episode notes. Just tap or swipe over the cover art. You'll also see some offers from our sponsors. We hope you can support our show by supporting them. Hey, listen, if you like what you've heard, we'd love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and maybe tell your friends how to subscribe too. Another way you can support us is to answer a short survey at wondery.com/survey. And don't forget to tell us what business stories you'd like to hear. Hey, just a quick note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research. I'm your host, David Brown. Michael Kenyon Meyer wrote this story. Parts of this story were recounted in author Cheo Hoderi Coker's Unbelievable, The Life, Death, and Afterlife of the Notorious B.I.G. and Three Kings, Diddy, Dr. Dre, Jay-Z, and hip-hop's multi-billion-dollar rise. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Jenny Lauer Beckman is our producer. Sound designed by Bay Area Sound. Our executive producers are Marshall Louie and Hernan Lopez. For Wondery.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.